This is MSO Newsports.com. I'm Bill Newell, joined by Andy Carboni, our baseball insider. And Andy, as we speak, after the first game of the Red Sox-Twins series, the Sox are hitting their stride come mid-July here.
They certainly are, Bill. It seems like they're starting to hit again like they did in the middle of May and the beginning of June before they went to a little bit of an offensive slump. The Sox are 9-1 their last 10. They've won three straight. Back into first place in the American League East, just a half game ahead of Baltimore. But all cylinders are running well at this point, and playing the Twins over the weekend should be easy pickings for the Sox, I would think.
Well, you would think so. They have struggled this year. Obviously, a big win against San Francisco coming in from the National League with the best record there. But as the post-All-Star break continued, the series in New York, David Price continues to struggle.
He certainly does, Bill. I just don't know what it is. It was that Sunday night game. The Red Sox had a chance to vault into first place last Sunday. They really needed Price to step up and have a big start, and he didn't. He just went over five innings, gave up 11 hits, just three runs. But he certainly wasn't dominant on the mound in any way, shape, or form. And the Sox lose the game 3-1, and at the time they remained in second place. But that was the type of game where you already knew early in the day Baltimore lost, a win tonight. You move into first place and make a statement. And he just came out, and he certainly did not make a statement. He made a statement in the negative fashion.
You mentioned a moment ago bats coming alive. Any particular bat or two coming alive in the last week?
Well, I think Dustin Pedroia was a little bit cold for a while. He's heated up. He was 5-for-5 last night. Mookie Betts starting to hit the ball again. Xander Bogaerts was hitting a slow spot before the All-Star break. It started off a little slow after the All-Star break. He picked up some hits during the Giants series again last night against the Twins. Ortiz just keeps hitting. So it's really been, everyone's chipping in top to bottom. Sandy Leone continues to be off the charts. Hit a home run again the other day and a triple. He's still batting well over 400. Travis Shaw had a home run since the All-Star break. So it's nice to see the production overall. And even Brock Holt getting back involved as well.
Yeah.
So there's really no dead spot in the lineup right now.
Now, the Sox have... let me see here. They've signed their top draft pick, Jay Groom. Tell us about that.
Well, the number one draft pick, of course, the left-handed pitcher, Jay Groom. They signed him to a $3.65 million bonus. It was important for the Red Sox to, obviously always want to add top pitching to the organization. Hopefully this left-handed potential starter down the road could be something. But if they didn't sign him, he could have gone back, could have gone off to college, went back into the draft and potentially lose him down the road. So, it's always a good gamble to take and get a top prospect pitching-wise and see if you can make something out of him.
The Drew Pomeranz trade, he comes over as a pitcher from San Diego. Your insight or thoughts on that deal?
I don't like the deal. I'll be very blunt with you about that, Bill. I don't mind getting him. I didn't like what they gave up. To me, Drew Pomeranz isn't much more than what you have at the back end of the rotation as is. He's been basically a reliever in his career. This year he was a starter coming out of the gate from spring training. So he's had one half of a good season in his major league career, basically. Made the All-Star team. And Dave Dombrowski turns around. He trades the best pitching prospect in the organization, 18-year-old Anderson Espinoza. He's ranked fifth overall by the prognosticators with minor league talent overall in Major League Baseball, number five pitcher. They're comparing him to Pedro Martinez down the road. Of course, that's a lot of hype, and who knows how it's going to pan out. But to me, if you're going to trade your blue-chip pitching prospect or any of your blue-chip prospects, you should get back a player that has a track record, that has done it before, not a guy that's had half of a good season in his career.
Yeah.
To me, that was an extreme overpay to get someone that's similar to what you already have. And jury's out, obviously. You still have control of Pomeranz for a couple years. He's 27 years old. But... you saw the other night, he's pitching against San Francisco, a team that he has pitched against this year already. You would think he'd have a little bit of more luck against them, and he just completely almost coughed up an 8-0 lead. Wait till he starts facing teams in the American League East as well as the other American League teams. So I think this could be a rude awakening for Drew Pomeranz.
Junichi Tozawa coming off the disabled list, the 15-day DL. What's the story there?
Well, the hope is to get him activated before tonight's game against Minnesota. He's been on the DL with a shoulder impingement, and the Red Sox definitely need the bullpen help. They're losing bodies left and right, obviously, now with Koji Uehara going down with a pectoral muscle strain. So that'll be an added addition to the bullpen because we need bodies at this point.
And Andy, I'll let you kind of close out. You know, every time we talk, we also spread out and look at Major League Baseball, MLB, and look for some of the highlights from the past week or so. And what do you see as some of the highlights in Major League Baseball?
Well, a couple of things that caught my eye at the end of last week and going into this week. The Astros signed Cuban free agent third baseman Yulesky Gurriel to a 5-year contract, almost $50 million. He's the biggest Cuban prospect that's still over there at this point. So the Astros are expecting big things out of him, and he could help in the stretch run for the Astros in their lineup. He's being compared to Jose Abreu, who came over from Cuba, and he's the starting first baseman for the Chicago White Sox, who's had a couple 30 home run seasons. Last Sunday was the 75th anniversary, the end of Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak, and something to keep an eye on this weekend, Ichiro Suzuki. He's just 4 hits away from 3,000.
Now, is Gurriel, the Cuban player you were just talking about, is he in Cuba right now?
And no, he had defected, and they were waiting for him to sign. He did some workouts for teams, and the Astros were the highest bidder, and he went with them, and he's already going into their minor league organization to he hasn't played ball in games for a while, obviously, so to get his timing back and to go through drills and get comfortable again before he officially gets the call up.
And the idea here, too, for the Red Sox in this last several games with the Twins at home is that they do have a lot of games on the road come the second half of the season. Is that correct?
They do. It seems you look at the schedule, they play the majority of their games on the road the rest of the way. So the Red Sox do have to make hay at home, win the games they should, because they'll be taking on some tough road trips, including 2 West Coast trips, and those are always trouble for the Red Sox. So, make noise at home when you can, and then hopefully you can maybe play .500 out on the West Coast and the other road games.
Gotcha. That's Andy Carbone, our baseball insider. I'm Bill Newell, and this is MSO, NewSports.com.